of the Amorite that were up on, that were on the other side of Jordan, Shion and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is in God, he is the God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Okay, let's we'll put reading right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Pray with me if you would, that the Lord would give us help and anointing this morning for the preaching of the word. Father, we do thank you this morning for the privilege to bring the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the copy of the word of God, the King James Bible, Lord, that we know is the word of God that you want for, it's the word of God, Lord, that you want us to have and to know. Now, I pray that you would give us understanding. I pray, Father, for the folks that are here, listen to the sound of my voice. Maybe someone here that's unsaved. If they are, I pray, Lord, that you that even right now begin to deal with their hearts, begin to show them their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, may you be lifted up. Pray for Brother Roger. Pray, Lord, you check him, raise him up. I know that he desires to be here with the house of God and the people. Now, I pray, Father, that you give it us, Father, help and victory over this sickness, Lord, that he has. Now, I pray you'd be glorified, magnified. I pray for all the folks here at Welcome Baptist Church, so many good friends and relatives. I pray, Father, that you'd be blessed and help them all, that we just all serve you and love you and glorify you in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, I want to talk to you this a little while out of this second chapter. I want to talk to you about Rahab the harlot and her salvation and how she was saved. And she was saved really the same way that we're saved today. God has never had but one way of saving folks, and that's by grace through faith. Doesn't matter whether it's in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the tribulation period, we all get saved the same way. But anyway, in the book of Joshua, let me just give you just a little introduction to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, you can look at it, it's got three divisions. First of all, they're entering into the land. Secondly, they're overcoming the land. Thirdly, they're occupying the land. And this is all in the plan of God. But as we look at this, these three divisions, this also sort of a picture of the Christian life. You know, the first thing we got to do is enter in. We got to be saved. Before we serve the Lord, we've got to be saved. You know, some folks just say, well, I'm just going to start serving the Lord. But you can't serve the Lord unless you come through the gate. You got to come through the door. You got to get saved. You got to get born again. You got to get the life giver inside before that you can serve the Lord. And so, to serve the Lord, you got to be first of all saved. So we see the entering in the land through chapter number 1 through chapter number 5. Then chapter number 6 to about chapter number 13, 14, I can't remember exactly where the division's at there. We have them overcoming the land. And then, you know, that's also a picture of the Christian life. You know, even after we've entered in, after we're saved, I don't know about you, but I found there were still a few things that I had to overcome. I wasn't perfect right after I got saved. Now, one thing God did do, he made some wholesale changes in my life. And I don't believe you can get saved without there being some change in your life. And if we look at even at Rahab the harlot here, she's changed. I mean, you can tell she's here disloyal to the king of Jericho, and now she's loyal to God and God's people. And when you get saved, you're gonna start being disloyal to the devil, your former master, and you're going to be start being loyal to God. That's one thing that happened quickly and right off the bat. You want to serve God, you want to please God. And so there's some overcoming to do. I remember, now let's bring this up for the benefit of all the smokers here. When I got saved, I didn't quit smoking right off the bat. Now, the night I got saved, I quit drinking, I quit cursing. I knew all that was wrong, but I wasn't too sure about the smoking. And I got thinking, Lord, should I quit this smoking? And a preacher came to my mind, a preacher I had a lot of confidence in, and he smoked. And I said, I don't believe smoking can be wrong. He would not be smoking if it was wrong. I didn't realize that sometimes folks had some addiction that they had some battles with. And so I picked that smoking back up. And then, since I picked it up and went on with my smoking, I had to try to overcome it. Later on down the road, I got convicted of the smoking. I tell you what really convicted me of it. I was finishing sheetrock in a building, and a drunk in there, and he was drinking beer. And I was trying to witness to him the best I knew how, as a young Christian. And I was just trying to say some things that might make him think that he needs to get saved. And I'd say, you know, it'd be a good day for the Lord to come back. And he said, man, what are you talking about? And he was just agreeing with me, you know. And he was talking about, yeah, it'd be a tremendous, and in a minute, he would drink his beer. And I said, how can you talk like that and drinking that beer, standing there drinking that beer? He said, how can you get on to me about drinking my beer and you smoking that cigarette? Oh, me, I didn't know how to answer him, brother. And I said, I got some overcoming to do. And so I'm going to tell you how when I really overcame it. My brother J.M. was not saved at that time. And we'd been praying for him. A lot of around me had been praying for J.M. to get saved. And on a Sunday night, just a few days after I had this run-in with this drunk down there drinking his beer, well, on a Sunday night out here, J.M. got saved. I still remember today, the lights went out. I don't know what happened. All the power went off. And J.M. was in the dark, but he came out in the light. He had the light of God in his soul when he got up from there. But I said, Lord, since you've saved my soul. You've saved my brother's soul. You've answered my prayer. I'm going to quit this smoking. And by the help of God, that's when I quit smoking. Amen. So, but some overcoming to do. And I'm sure you probably found a sin or two you had to overcome once you were saved. And the thing about it is, we can overcome those sins, but on down the road, we're not careful. Now, I said the first thing was entering the land. The second thing was overcoming. The Lord told him, he said, hey, go out there and overcome. Everywhere you step, where your foot trots, I'm going to give you that land. Just go out there and conquer, and you'll have the power to conquer. I'm going to give you the bad, and I'm going to give you the power to overcome. But, you know, if we're not careful, either we've overcome, and when it comes to occupying, we're not careful, we'll get a little slack, and we'll start losing ground back to where we done gained. And sometimes folks will get back, and they're worse off afterwards than they were when they started. But, you know, that's true. You've seen folks, and I used to think about these dieters when I think about this. And, you know, the dieters, they'll get on a diet, and it's a temporary diet, and they'll lose about 15, 20 pounds, and then they go off of that diet and gain about 30 pounds off that. And that's about the way we ought to overcome. And sometimes we can overcome and overcome if we're not careful. The devil will come back in and take it all away from us. We got to maintain, got to occupy. So in the book of Joshua, you have a kind of overview of the Christian life. Enter the land, overcome the land, and then occupy, maintain your position. Now then, let's go to chapter number 2 now and look a little while at Rahab. Now, I believe that Rahab the harlot was already saved when the spies came to the land. And you say, why do you think that? Well, I'm saying, first of all, I thought a while ago, she was changed. Being disloyal, and she'd been loyal to the king of Jericho, and here she is this is a sinful city. It's a border city. It's a sinful city. And you know, the strength of any city is the wall. And Rahab the harlot was on that wall. She was in the strength of a sinful city, and she was in the strength of that city. And right there, she came to lead you in the military. God of heaven. I think she really takes the power of God. I don't know what you think. But she came to lead you. And notice, if you will, as we come on down to verse number 9, when they come to where she's mouth down. And they begin to talk to her. And she said unto the men, I know. Hey, that's the language of a Christian, isn't it? We know. I'm glad that, hey, aren't you glad that you know you can be saved? Hey, not only the knowledge that we can be saved, but what can better than that is to know you are saved. I talk to a lot of Baptist people and a lot of other people, and they don't know they're saved. They say, I hope I am. I can't really know that until I get to heaven. I'm going to tell you, if you're waiting, you get to heaven to find out who you're saved tonight, you may not ever get that. You better know. You better not go out of this life not knowing. You better know that you're saved. And I'm glad that you can know it. Amen. I said before, being saved and not knowing is not having to eat and not knowing where it's from. You're in bad shape. But not only can we know, we have the knowledge that we can be saved and we can know we are saved, but I'm glad we can also know we're saved forever. Hey, when we're saved, we get eternal life. You know, eternal life, not eternal life, but when we stop somewhere down the road. If you're saved 6 months and then you lose your salvation, of eternal life forever. And the Bible speaks of Christians that have a tree. I give unto them eternal life, which I never chose. Neither shall any man pluck it. Well, we've got a salvation that's sure, we've got a salvation that's safe, and we've got a salvation that's forever. And here she's speaking along with my own. Dude, I think she had the knowledge. Now, who did she get this from? Who did she get this from? How much of that I know you? She been observing what was going on around about it? You know, before I got saved, I learned a lot of things that were going on around about it. It looked like Jesus Christ was ready to say, so I haven't tried it yet before, you know. But here she is. She knows, she says, I know it. And then, now how did she know? All right, go back down to verse number 10. For we have heard. You know how you can know you're saved? You're first going to have to hear the preaching of the Word of God. You're going to have to hear it somehow, some way. You're going to have to hear the preaching of the Word. And you say, well, you're a preacher. You talk about always preaching in the pulpit. Not necessarily. There's a lot of preaching done outside the pulpit. I remember when I went down to Mexico as a missionary, you know, didn't know the language. You know, little bit. Here we are. Now, I was working with Brother Martin Garcia over there in a real poor part of Monterey, Mexico. I was listening closely, for we visited a lot. And I listened to Brother Martin, and I listened to him to it, because I won't be able to listen to the Mexicans in Spanish, and I was listening to how he did it, the words he was using. And I remember he would go out there, and he would knock on the door, and they come to the door, he'd talk to them about the weather, this, that, and the other, you know. And then, and then they'd start going inside, and he'd tell me, ease it. He'd get a foot on ease it. He couldn't go where they couldn't sit. He said, I'm a metal. You know, just a minute, I want to talk to you. And he'd always talk to him. We're going to give you what our purpose is, like this. Our purpose is that, Jesus Christ came in this world, but our purpose is to tell people so that people might know why Jesus Christ came in the world. Do you know why Jesus Christ came in the world? Sometimes they say, well, but how they say, I don't even know. And he'd go back to Adam and Eve, tell about the fall and this and that, and bring them up today. One of the gods, how that's a good sign. I heard a million about this. One of those words, thank you. But, well, you got that, you've got to hear the word of God. Some words, some words. In some ways, you've got to hear the word of God. So he said, for we have heard. Now, and since you've heard, what is here? You know, it's not really difficult if you don't hear the right message. What's the right message to get someone saved? It's the gospel message. Notice what she said, we have heard. And a heart in me, when they give me verse 21. Well, we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea. Now, she'd heard that Red Sea message. What was the Red Sea message? Well, the Red Sea message was how that Moses and, how that the children of Israel were baptized under Moses in the Red Sea and in the cloud and in the water. And so what you got there is a picture of the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message every sinner's got to hear. Paul said, I've delivered unto you the message which I've received, that you received the message that I received, which is the death and the burial, how Christ died, how he was buried, and how he rose again. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And sinners get saved when they hear the gospel, and they believe the gospel, and they believe he did it for them. And so she said, we have heard that Red Sea message, because that's what it was. In picture, it was a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah on the cross and to the death, burial, and resurrection. We look back to it, but we're both saved by looking to the cross, believing Jesus died for us. When we believe he did it for us, that's when we can be saved. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, let's turn over to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And chapter number 2. And Paul gives a pretty good rendition of the whole chapter. You know, sometimes we just take one verse. We might go down to verse number 13. You hear that a lot. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know, you got to take it into its context. And the context here is this whole chapter, this 10th chapter of the book of Romans. And I want you to look at it for just a second. And we'll just go through it and see that what I've been saying over there in the Old Testament is backed up with doctrine in the New Testament. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, but they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they be ignorant of God's righteousness, for about to establish their own law, have not committed themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, that's what happened to me before I got saved. I was going to the altar. I'd been to the altar probably three or four times. And every time I would trace a problem. 20, 30 minutes. I've got to do some good for them. That's probably outplayed most back for every guy. But I prayed that, you know what? I wasn't praying in faith. I was praying, believing that God would hear me for my much praying. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying to get saved. You got to ask God to save you. That's what prayer is. So you got to ask God to save you if you're going to get saved. But you're not going to get saved by your ability to pray. You're not going to get saved by your ability to do anything. It's all in God's ability. And so I was doing that, and I had a lot of zeal. I'd go to the altar. I would pray till I was wringing red with flesh. But I had a lot of zeal, but I was wanting to know. See, I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't know that I'd got to also believe. My mind was, I'll just pray long enough and hard enough, and the light's going to come on. I'm going to be saved. I'm just going to come up. Hallelujah, I'm saved. But you know what I didn't realize? We're going to have to believe in Christ. They're going to have to do some believing in that. And the Bible talks about we got to believe him. And not just believe like the demon. The demons believed and trembled. I'm talking about believing for the saving of our soul. And the faith that saves us is the faith that God gives us. You know, our ability to believe on God is God-given, with the gift of faith. We don't have the ability just to believe. God will give you that ability, though. And you know what? God won't believe for you. God won't knock you down and save you. He'll give you the ability to do it, but then you're going to have to act on that faith yourself. You're going to believe. Even faith that you've got to come in your life. You've got to know what to do. There's some people that you've got to know. You might have to be a theologian. You'd have to be a theologian if you can get saved the way they were treated. But there are a few things you have to know. One thing you got to know if you're going to be saved is who Jesus. The one that just this morning, do you know who Jesus is? You know that he's the Son of God? I mean, do you consider him? You know, that's what people get saved. Who's the most? You don't have to believe that he's the Son of God. That's what the thanks of miracles get saved. The Muslims think Jesus Christ was an infidel. They can't be saved. If anybody comes to you and they don't believe the doctrine that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they're not saved. They can't be saved. Turn in, if you will, in the book 2 John. Back up in the book of Revelation, about three books. The book of 2 John is only one chapter. So you have to watch it. You can run by it before you know it. Not back past Jude. And 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and it's in 2nd John. Notice in verse number 7. The Bible said, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to your savior that ye lose not those things which you have wrong, but that ye receive the full reward. Now notice in verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Well, that's as plain as you can make it. John said here, if you transgress and you don't believe God in the doctrine of Christ, you don't believe in Jesus Christ as God, you don't have God, he that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You can't have the Son without the Father, you can't have the Father without the Son. If there come any to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of the evil deed. One thing you got to know to be saved, you got to know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is this morning. You know, I wasn't too sure before I got saved. I'd hear people preach on the Trinity, and I didn't really know because they preached God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I would think in my mind, which one is God? But you know, the night I got saved, I found out who Jesus was. And I know who it was clear to me then. Jesus was God. And Jesus, they went to that cross as God, the perfect Son of God, died upon that cross. And the only way I could get saved is I could put my soul in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's look at it. Go back to chapter number 10 of Romans. And verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Did you know there's no way to get saved by the keeping of the law? You know why? Because you can't keep the law. It's impossible. And just real quickly, I'm going to read you a verse out of Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. I know I'm scattered around here a little bit, but it's all the Word of God, so it's going to help you. Hebrews chapter number 7. And verse number 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The law made nothing perfect. Some people say, well, they were saved back there under that covenant by the keeping of the law. No, they didn't. The law made nothing perfect. Anything's not perfect, it's not going to heaven. There's no sin going to heaven. If you ain't got a perfect man living in you, you're not going to heaven. The Bible says that born of God is perfect, and it cannot sin. You didn't know you were perfect, but when you got perfection, well, flesh ain't perfect. So I'm going to tell you about the man inside, if you're afraid, that's perfect, and that's what's going to heaven. That's when you oppose it to God. But the law couldn't make, the law couldn't do that. The law wasn't given to make men perfect. The law was given that every mouth of was taught before God. The law was given to show man what kind of sinner he really is. And so, the law made nothing perfect. Let me go back to the Romans chapter 2. For the law is the end of it, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describeth the law which is righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is by faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from the glory, or who shall descend into the depth, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now he's not only we have to know who Jesus is, but we got to know how we receive him. How do we receive the Lord Jesus Christ? There's only one way to receive it. That's by faith. That's by that faith that God gives. Notice, turn with me if you still got your Bibles open. I hope you have. It's John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Verse number 28. Here's the Jews, the scribes, and the Pharisees talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 28, John chapter 6. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's a good question for all of the answers. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe. You believe on him whom he has sent. There's only one way you can work the work of God. You got to get saved by faith. You don't get in by works, any kind of works, your good deeds, your church membership, your baptism. You get in, you receive him by faith. Have you ever accepted him by faith? Have you ever come to the place that you said, yes, Lord, I know I can't save myself. I know you died to save me, and I'm going to accept what you did instead for my salvation. You've got to come to that place. You can't be saved without knowing. How can you be saved without knowing you trusted somebody? It's impossible. Okay, going down to verse number, and say in John chapter 6, and going down to verse number 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh me I will no wise cast out. Now this is also talking about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. You know, it's hard to dig into right there and understand that, isn't it? Well, only God, the Father, and God the Son can understand that. But you know what? The semicolon there, now Sunday school always told me to take that semicolon, it's fixing to explain what it's just saying. gives me more information about what he just said. So he said, when all the Father give me shall come to me, biblical. And now he's going to explain a little more about that. But him that cometh me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, well, who is it that the Father hath given to the Son? Those that come to strength. Hey, look, how can I be part of that? You've got to come to Christ. And if you come to him, you can be saved. There's not one person that will ever come to Christ that he'll cast out. He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. I will not refuse a single one that comes. I'm going to tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is that whosoever will. And whosoever will come. I know that's the same thing that the Bible talks about, the Father and the Son, and the other, the Trinity. But I'm talking about as far as we're concerned. How can we be part of that? We can come to Jesus Christ. We can come on the promise of His Word, that we'll come to Him. He will cast us out. We come. Whosoever will come, take of the water. Then. You're here this morning. And you're not saved, you don't need to be saved. I just come into him. Trust this man. Notice what I said here. Go back to Romans chapter 19. So we receive him by faith. Don't say we got the brain cut, man. Like the one guy told me when I was trying to witness to him out here at the crossroads. Years ago when I hadn't been saved long. And he said, Jerry, the only way that I would believe on Jesus Christ, if he came down here and appeared to me right now, it's not going to happen. He's already changed. He's already died. He's already resurrected. You're going to have to see him by faith, not by sight. And who shall descend in the depth and bring Christ up from the dead? For what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Boy, that's the nutshell of it right there. Just believe in it. I mean, just trust him with our heart. Believe that God has raised him from the dead. That's how we got to receive it. We got to know that about it. What we got to know about it? We got to know he's the Son of God. We got to know that he died, that he rose the third day. The victory over not his sin, but over our sin. With our sin, he died for it. It's our sin that put him to death. Not his sin. He had no sin. Yet in that cross, he was having the sin of the whole world. He wasn't just represented, but he was made sinner. Think about that. He's made the vilest sin you could think of upon that cross. And he died for every sin that had ever been committed or ever would be committed so that we could be saved. But we've got to believe. Got to confess with our mouth. I remember the night I got saved. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally, Max Padgett that had witnessed to me on the job so much, I heard him over there. He said about five words. It was like a light that turned on in my soul. He said, Jerry, can't you just believe? Jerry, can't you just believe? Before God began to work on my heart, I found it just in an instant of time. It seemed like it was 30 minutes. But just in an instant of time, God began to work on me. And God said, son, just get up and trust me and believe it's already happened. Believe that you can take me at my word. Not trying to pray you with you, trying to trust me, trying to believe, get up and confess me on faith. I got up and said, I've taken Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've been saved ever since. That was 57 years ago. All the 1960. Feel saved for that. So, hey, it's all by faith. It's by faith. It's by trusting him. It's by knowing him. Hey, and so notice what's going through. I want to get through this chapter here quick. Just a few more verses. Better. So, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord shall give unto all that call upon him. For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How shall they then call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe, and how shall they hear without a preacher? That's pretty plain there. You know what it's saying? God calls preachers. God sends preachers. The preacher preached the word, so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Got to take it all into context. When you take all that into context, you won't be confused on salvation. You'll know exactly how you get saved or how you are saved. And you'll know that it'll agree with your salvation. If you're really saved, the Word of God's not going to make you doubt. The Word of God's going to give you assurance. It'll give you assurance that you're saved. Well, that's the message this morning. What I was really wanting to show when I didn't really state this at the beginning is that God is a missionary-minded God. And God is interested in souls. And even in the Old Testament, the heathen nations round about, those that weren't Jews, they called them heathen. Those heathen nations round about, God was interested in their soul even in that day. And if they came to God, and God, for Israel, he stated several times that the purpose of Israel, and God was blessing Israel and doing things for Israel, that they might manifest God to those nations round about, that they might see God, be able to glorify God. And there was a lot of those, Jews, I mean, not those folks saved in those heathen nations round about in the Old Testament. Rahab wasn't the only one. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was saved. Did you know that Rahab was saved here and that she become the great, great, great grandmother of King David? Right in the lineage of Christ. Right on through Ruth. And with David, you know, David committed a adultery with Bathsheba. Do you know who the husband of Bathsheba was? That was an honorable man. Uriah. He wasn't a Jew, but he was brought in by grace. He'd got into the commonwealth of Israel. Over in the Old Testament, God was interested in souls over there just like he is now. God didn't just become a missionary minded when in the New Testament. He's always been missionary. I'm going to tell you, we're in the world of God. You know what that is? It's a time that we spoke to the gospel. He spoke to the gospel. It's a gift. Okay, that's the message. Let's take you on something. Go ahead, close it out. Okay, well, let me give a short one. Oh my God, please. I don't think so. We're up. The Lord just came. You come. Let me read the verse. John 6:37. He that cometh to me, all that Father give me shall come to me. He that cometh to me, I will go out there. Just purge your thought. Place your purpose in me. Okay, so we are. Let's close out.